Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It is the WifeAbility.com morning show with Adrian E. Bell. Good morning, everyone. I am delighted to be on today's show with you. It is going to be a powerful time this morning, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get your pen, you want to get your pad, you want to get on Facebook, keep your cell phones out. I want you to invite somebody on to the show today and let them know that it's going down on WifeAbility.com morning show. Today we are talking about soul ties, and I know some people kind of have a general idea of what soul ties are, and then some of us have no idea what it is, but we know that we have a lot of problems that we can't break. We have a lot of issues that we can't get rid of, and we're trying to figure out, wait a minute, am I crazy? Yes, some of us, you know, like we talked about last week on our mental health discussion, some of us, we do need a little help, okay, in the mental health department, but some of us are having some challenges that we can control just by saying no. Just by cutting off some people that we don't need to stay connected to. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is breaking unhealthy soul ties and really getting a understanding of what's going on in our lives and why we have so much drama and chaos. And so I'm really excited about exposing the enemy today, because the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our mind, he wants to distract us from God. And that's what this whole faith walk is about, distractions. As long as the devil can keep you from thinking about God, that's what this is all about. It's not because you're cute, and I am cute. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that's not what this is about. This is about spiritual distractions. The enemy is trying to keep us distracted from God. He does not want us to have anything to do with God. He will use different antics to keep us off of God. So today we're going to talk about soul ties. But before we move forward, we want to invite God into our conversation, and that he gets the glory when it's all said and done. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of fellowship. I thank you for this opportunity to share and to expose the enemy and how he has tricked so many of your children. Father, we just look to you, because when we try to do things on our own, we're trying to figure out why it's not working and why it keeps failing, why we can't get out of this unhealthy, abusive relationship, and why we keep going back to the same types of things and situations. But Father, we thank you even now that you're going to help us, and at the end of this call, we will have the tools, end of the show, we will have the tools that we need to move forward in you. We thank you for every person that's represented on this show. I thank you for my co-hosts. I thank you for their families, oh God. I even thank you for my own husband that you've given him the wisdom to be the man of my life, and that you are the God of my life. And so we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. I thank you, Father, for every person that's represented on this call. And we bind up the spirit that will come and try to hinder or frustrate the freedom that the people of God need. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we declare victory in Jesus' name. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So listen, again, today we're talking about soul ties, and I know some people they've heard about it, and some of us even try to talk about it when we're calling ourselves giving advice to our girlfriends, like, girl, that's just a soul tie, girl, you need to let that go, and she don't even know what she's talking about. So today we're going to have some tools so that we can help each other to break those unhealthy soul ties. And guess what? No one person knows everything about soul ties, okay? It's something that you have to study on your own. And today all we're going to do is spark your or kind of whet your appetite so that you can want to know more about why you have some of the internal turmoil going on. But before we move forward, I want to bring my girls in, Denise O, Denise J. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy that you ladies are with me today. Now, y'all, don't be laughing at my sister, Denise. She's feeling a little under the weather this morning. So, no, she does not sound like a man. Hello. So y'all just show her some love. Y'all show her some love. And Denise J., I am glad that you are with us today as well. We missed you so much last week. So we're glad that you're back with us today.
Thank you. I miss you guys. Awesome.
And today, guess what? We're going to extend our time a little bit today so that we can, if you have any questions about soul ties, so if you say, I've heard some things and I don't really understand, hopefully after we're done with the discussion, you won't have any questions, but that you'll just begin to apply what you've learned, because sometimes people ask a bunch of questions and they know the answer, but they're trying to look for an out clause to still sleep with that man that they don't have no business sleeping with. Like, it's not going to change this. He's married, so you probably want to just go ahead and cut that off now. Like, we really don't even got that. If he's married, he's not yours, and you're not married to him, then you can go ahead and just cut that off. Like, really, that's not, just stop. That's just something we just got to stop doing. But yeah. Denise J., what have you encountered or heard about, well, let me go back. Let me start with Denise O. Denise O., what have you ever learned about or heard about soul ties?
Well, I've heard the term many times before. I want to say I heard it more when I was single before I got married. And it was kind of like, you know, talking with your girlfriends or in a discussion, and you're trying to break it off with someone, or one of your girlfriends try to break it off someone, and someone will throw out, "That ain't nothing but a soul tie." But you know, I've heard it probably, like I said, mostly when way before I got married, when I was single, and like I said, you chit chatting with your girlfriends, or you've heard it through someone else is trying to tell you what a soul tie is. So I'm excited about today's call. Because I have a few questions, but to reveal the actual meaning of a soul tie, what it means. So that's probably my only, I think I have my own ideas, but.
Well, share. What do you think it is? Because that's good for people that think they know what their idea is. So what do you think it is?
I think a soul tie is with the person, and again, this is my own definition. A person who has some type of fornication spirit or fornication act with another person. Being with the person mentally, spiritually, physically, sometimes present or absent from another person. So having a connection with someone without a, when you're unequally yoked and or if you are not married, or even with someone who is married and you have some type of communication with that person, whether you want to talk to them, be with them, see them, but having some type of communication in a fornication type of mindset of physical attraction. With someone who is, A, not yours, married or in a relationship, B, you are idolizing that person, want to be with that person, the person have told you they don't want to be with you or they're in a relationship, or just that person that's going to be your side piece.
Well,
yeah, that person that's just going to be, I guess, your vacation away from your reality.
Wow.
So that's what I'm thinking of soul ties. It's that connection of someone who means no good to you, someone who has told you before that you will never be that person. You're not my number one, but you could be my side chick. That person who you wish that you could be with and can't be with. So that's what I think a soul tie is.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Denise J., what about you? Where are you with the discussion regarding soul ties?
Well, actually, I hadn't heard of the word soul tie used for a long time. And like Denise O., I've always referenced it to some type of relationship. And I was thinking about today's topic, and I thought, wow, soul tie. That's really deep because, you know, from a biblical point of view, we know what the soul of a man is. But I kind of think it's even deeper than what Denise O was saying. It's more like an obsession, compulsion for someone or even something. It's what you are focused on, what are you directing all of your attention to, and what are you obsessing over? What are you putting in your life, or who are you putting in your life in place of God? Or even in place of yourself? Because typically when there's a soul tie, you're not really thinking about the betterment of you. You're thinking about what can I get to make me feel better. There's obviously something missing in a person's life when they are so wrapped up, tangled up, shackled to, bondage to a person or a thing. That's a soul tie, my opinion.
You both were perfect. That's perfect. And again, Adrian Bell is not the expert on it, but I can say that I have done my own research, and I had to break off some ties in my own life. And so let's get into it. Let's first discuss what the soul is. And I thank God for my mentor, Bishop Ivy Hilliard, who taught me how to break down the soul. Now, I'm not saying he's the originator, but he's the originator for me. So he taught me that the soul is made up of five components: the mind, the will, the imagination, the emotion, and the intellect. So the reason why we have to understand that the soul is not just, I think sometimes it's cliche to say, you know, mind, body, soul, but your mind is actually a part of your soul. So, you have, like I said, it's the five components: your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotions, and your intellect. So, for example, a lot of people think soul ties are strictly sexual, and that is not the case. It's not always sexual. Now, the sexual part is, the sexual soul tie is usually the hardest to break, okay? But there's more than one way to be tied to someone, and as far as our souls are concerned. So we're going to walk through some of those things. Also, soul ties are not gender specific. Sometimes when people are talking about soul ties, they're only talking to females. Hello, men have unhealthy soul ties too. So it's not a thing where it's only females, and that really gets under my skin, because a lot of times what the church does, they like to put all the little single ladies in a room, all the unmarried ladies in a room, and say, you got a soul tie. Every single lady, every unmarried woman is not fornicating. Every unmarried woman is not going around trying to sleep with married men. So we got to stop putting people in a box, or putting just a certain group of people in a box. Single men, the women got to have somebody to sleep with. So it's not just the single women that's dealing with soul ties. Some of us that are married are dealing with soul ties, and we're going to jump into that too. Soul ties are spiritual distractions. Soul ties are not only sexually transmitted, but you can get tied up in so many other ways. Your mind can get tied up with somebody. For example, you're trying to figure out, I can't get this person off my mind. You've never slept with them. Never slept with them, but you still think about them, and you're like, that's not even my husband. Like, that's not even, like, I don't even know this person. So your mind can get tied up with someone that's not even yours, okay? Also, ties of your will. In other words, how you act out what you do. So, for example, let's say you have, like, a lot of our teenagers get connected with, and some of us grown people too, but we get connected with that girlfriend that's like, girl, forget your mama, girl. Let's run away, or let's sneak out and go to the club. And so you're like, and obviously you're trying to figure out why this person is a bad influence on your teenager, and you're trying to figure out, well, why, what is so special about this particular girl where every time she says something, you got to move. You have to do, you know, the old folks used to say, are you going to jump off a bridge if so-and-so tells you to jump off a bridge? Yes, some of us will, because it's our will has been engaged. Sometimes that spirit of rebellion that's wrapped up in us, we find someone that identifies with that spirit of rebellion in us, and so we just go off the deep end doing stuff, right? So we're trying to figure out, why do I, every time I want to do something bad, I call this person. Girl, what you want to get in tonight? Now, your praying friend, you don't call her because you don't feel like being saved today, okay? But your girlfriend that whose will is to go and sleep with other men or whatever the case may be or whatever, that's a soul tie of your will. You're trying to figure out why you can't break loose from your girlfriend. Now, y'all haven't slept together because that's your girl. That's your friend. Y'all been friends since you were 5 years old. But you're trying to figure out, well, I can't stop calling her, even though I know I shouldn't. I know she's a bad influence. She makes me smoke weed. She makes me drink. She makes me do all this stuff. Well, she don't make you. You choose to do what you do. It's an act of your will that person is able to engage you. Okay, now, ties of the imagination. Now, this is when people get into porn and they're trying to figure out, because their reality is so jacked up, either they're in a really bad relationship or they're single or they hate being single, and so they engage their imagination. So you can have a soul tie to pornos. You're trying to figure out, I can't go to sleep until I masturbate. I can't go to sleep until I go and get my toy under the bed, and you got to hide it because, you know, your 2-year-old going to go find it, and you will be devastated if you look up and your 2-year-old got your toy, hello, in the room with them. So our imagination gets out of control, and we're trying to figure out, why is my mind, I always have this pornographic view in my mind, because you're constantly feeding it and you can't get rid of it. You're trying to figure out, why can't I break this? Because the imagination has been engaged as a tie to your imagination, okay? Ties of the emotion. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and y'all probably didn't even sleep together? You know, it's just nice, and that's why I don't judge people, and I might get criticized for this, but we really got to be careful when we judge the gay and lesbian community, because everybody is one step away from being gay. You'd be like, girl, I'm strictly. Let you have the wrong gay, your husband do something that you didn't like, and your girlfriend, who's been wanting to be with you all along, be like, girl, I told you he wasn't no good. When your eyes are closed, you don't know if it's a man or a woman, depending on what she's doing. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. So y'all can be deep if you want to, but that person can engage your emotions. And that person can put you in a situation. Doesn't have to be just a man. It can be a female, or you can be a man and another man engage your emotions. This is real stuff, y'all. And so we're trying to figure out, why, you know, I feel like I, now we have to understand the difference in a tie, a person, it's that pull, that seduction, that craving, that unnatural craving of, if I don't do this, I'm going to die. It's almost a form of an addiction. If I don't get with this person, I'm going to die. If I don't watch this porno, I'm going to die. If I don't go hang out with this girl, this, you know, my friend who wants to go to the club, I'm going to lose my mind. If the enemy will always make you feel like if you don't engage, then something detrimental is going to happen to you. You're going to die. You're going to, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's the kind of stuff we're trying to expose those feelings, those emotions, those people that we connect with. And we think, well, we just have a really good connection. Yeah, but our connections have to be clean and based on the word of God. Ties of the intellect. Now, some of us think we're real cute, we're real smart. You know, I went to school, I went to, you know, Ivy League schools, and I'm smart, and I only hang around other smart people. And sometimes you can be attached to intellect in so many different ways. For example, that's why a lot of women can have different men from different areas of their life. So you have the one man who's good in the bed, and then you have the one man who you like to go to the chick, and then you have the one guy that likes the nice restaurant, and then you like the other guy because you can have a conversation with him, and then you like the other guy because y'all can talk and have fun and tell jokes. So that's why people, your soul tie does not have to be just with one person. Some of us got a network going on. Some of us got a soul tie network. And we're trying to figure out why we're pulled in so many different directions. And we're trying to figure out why I feel like I'm going to lose my mind at one point. But some of us have a network going on. So with the intellect, some of us fall in love, quote unquote, with men or women who are really smart. Like, man, she's smart, but, I mean, she ain't, her body's not all that, and, you know, she's not really, you know, that, you know, cute and whatever. And you don't take her on your friends because she ain't cute, right? She's the one that you call when you need advice or when you want to make investment decisions, you know. And so what we tend to do is we use people where we need them. And so we feel like some of us, we don't even realize, oh, my God, I didn't even realize I'm caught up in this whole time, didn't even realize it. So that I hope that a breaking down of the type or what the soul is made of, the mind, the will, the imagination, the emotion, and the intellect. So, ladies, sex is not the only way to be tied up. That's the most detrimental way, because when we sin in our bodies, then we're bringing sin onto our bodies, and that causes more turmoil when we're trying to break that spirit or break that spirit of seduction and that spirit where you're trying to constantly break. Like, I can't get them out of my mind. I keep thinking about this person and I can't get rid of them. That is a soul tie that you must cleanse from your spirit. I know many wives that are married, many wives, husbands too, that, you know, they have, you try to figure out why, you know, the quote-unquote baby mama calls, the whole day is ruined. Y'all dressed up, you're ready to go on a date, everything is good. Soon as baby mama called, the husband done lost his mind. He can't think, he can't text, he can't call, he can't get dressed, he ain't hungry no more. Wait a minute, that's too much. If your whole day is altered by a phone call or a text message from somebody, you got a soul tie somewhere. If your whole day, your whole week, your whole month is altered because somebody didn't speak to you or somebody doesn't like you, this particular person, I'm not talking about, you know, your little beef that you have with people, but I'm talking about people that you've shared life experiences with. You know, sometimes when you're going through a rough patch, I won't say God, I'm going to say sometimes the devil will plant people in your life that will trick you and make you think, that's my girl, man, she's been with me through the thick and the thin. Yeah, but she ain't no good for you, because every time you get ready to do something good or positive, she's always trying to break you down and tear you down, okay? So, again, let's be clear that soul ties are not strictly romantic or sexual, but a lot of the times it's platonic. A lot of the times it's familial, our family. You can be in a family relationship with somebody and not fool with them, because some of our mamas, our daddies, witches and warlocks, and they look for ways to destroy our lives. But we're like, but that's my mama, though. I can't cut my mama off. If mama's a witch, you got to keep it moving. If mama has no plan for excellence or goodness in your life, you got to put, mama, I respect you. Mama, I honor you, and I thank God for you, but I cannot allow you to come in my house and drop them spirits off in my house. I can't allow it. So having a soul tie or identifying a soul tie is first knowing that you have one and knowing that, oh, I'm trying to figure out why I can't get this person out of my spirit. Let me see, how much have I engaged with this person? How much of my business have I shared with this person? And then they use what they know about you to taunt you, or they'll threaten you and say, well, if you stop talking to me, I'm going to tell so-and-so about you. That is a spirit, y'all. Denise, what are your thoughts on what I've shared so far? They sound like they're floored. Are you all floored?
Wow. Those are some awesome points, because I was going to ask, for you to break it down a little bit. Is it gender specific? And you said no. So it could be your girlfriend, someone in your life that's been in your life for some years, and you tend to just get in some trouble with her. So I'm glad that you broke that down. But that's wow, because then I had you thinking of other areas in your life that you may be connected to the wrong thing or person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking it's just, you know, that's just my ride or die. We just, when we get together, we just act the fool. And it could be deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
so.
It is. Because here's the thing, ladies, and interject at any point. Also, soul ties are transmitted in three different ways that I've discovered: through sex, through music, and through interaction or engagement. Now, that's why music is so successful, because if you notice, when you listen to certain types of music, you listen to, your mind goes back to certain people. And you marry, you with your man, okay, your husband, and all of a sudden a song comes on the radio and you start thinking about Peter. You're like, wait a minute, I've been with Peter in 40 years. So that's why we got to be like, wait a minute, that God, when we say, Lord, you know, created me a clean heart, shine a light on me where if there's any wickedness in me, that's why we got to pray that prayer every day, because the enemy will give little tests to see if you're going to respond. That's what it's about. He wants to see, how can I make Denise respond to what I'm serving up today? He'll call a song, especially when you're mad at your husband. Hello, that's when, or you'll get a text message from a Facebook message. This Facebook, I tell you, I mean, people go into divorce court over this dog on Facebook. Lord Jesus, but
yes,
crazy.
Facebook is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us exercise our soul ties through Facebook, because we're thinking, well, I'm not sleeping with her, I'm just talking to her. But young man, young lady, if you can't go to bed until you have Facebooked somebody, sir, ma'am, you have a soul tie that you must stop. That person is engaging either your mind, your will, your imagination. Most of the time it's your imagination, because they're trying to figure out, well, what you going to do? Well, I'm going to do this to you, and you're going to do this to me. Wait a minute. No, I need you to go do your wife and get off Facebook. I need you to go do your husband and get off Facebook. But that's what some of us do. We engage the wrong people. And all of this energy that we're putting into people that mean us no good, and then we're trying to figure out why the stuff that should be working isn't, is because we're tied up, wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in something we have no business being tied up in. We got to cut the network. So some of us got a mind tied somewhere. Some of us got a will tied somewhere, an emotional tie somewhere, a sexual tie somewhere. We got a whole network that's going on, and we don't even realize it. But going back to the music, we have to be careful what type of music we listen to, because your soul can be tied to certain music. Your soul, you'll try to figure out, why can't I can't go to sleep until I hear a certain song. Or I can't, now I'm not talking about, I'm talking about secular music only, because even some gospel music I can't get with, because I'm like, we ain't talking about Jesus on that, so I'm good. But we have to be careful what music we engage, because that can call us to be connected even to that artist. So have you ever noticed, like, when you're watching, like, old Michael Jackson stuff and people just, like, bust out and start crying, or you see on TV, like, the little girls, they done fainted and the ambulance can't even get to them because they done hyperventilated. Sir, ma'am, that's not healthy. If you're crying because you get ready to meet your favorite artist, you got them plastered all over your room, you picked it too with Michael Jackson on your wall, that ain't hot, boo. And then we also, the little things, this is the little things that we don't think of the soul tie, especially if you're married or even if you're unmarried. If you got Morris Chestnut or Brad Pitt or as your screensaver woman, man, you got Beyonce and Rihanna on your screen server, you liking booty pictures on Facebook, that spirit of lust is being fed, and then you're trying to figure out why I can't go to sleep unless I'm thinking about Morris Chestnut or Beyonce, or I can't go to sleep until I'm watching a video of something that they've done. So having a soul tie is deeper than just somebody that I slept with. You, some of us ain't got no chance of sleeping with none of these people that we say we in love with, that we love, I should say. Or, but we don't understand, some of us, especially those that are of us that are unmarried, what happens is that we say we want to be married, but you already said, well, you know, Morris Chestnut, girl, that's my husband. You declared that. You declared that in the atmosphere. No, he's somebody else's husband, boo. So we got to stop saying little stuff that we think is not, that's not, that is innocent. Or, girl, that's just being too deep. Okay, and that's why you're still single. Because it's too deep. That's just how deep it is. You can't, or if you're married, how I look having another man on my cell phone, my husband be like, really? Really? How? That's just so out of order in so many ways. But you can get yourself tied up with that situation or with that person, with a person that you've never met, you probably will never meet, right? And so we're trying to figure out why I got to only think about Morris Chestnut before I go to sleep. Before I sleep with my husband. Or for some of us that are unmarried, you know, it's like, girl, I don't need no husband. I got Morris. You know, one of these days, he's going to be my man. What? Come on, ladies. Denise J, am I crazy? Or maybe it's just me. But I just think that sometimes we underestimate the spiritual aspect or the spiritual weight of the things that we say out of our mouths. What do you think?
I think you're on point, because, I mean, I have to go to the Bible, because this is just where it's at. The Bible talks about be careful of what you say. You can speak life to your life, or you can speak death to your life. The Bible also talks about having no other God before God. So who are you worshiping in your imaginations? Who are you worshiping in your intellect? Yeah, it's nice to have intellectual conversation, but do you desire that? Do you have to have that? Do you need that in order to function in your daily activity? Can you not go to sleep checking Facebook to see if that person sent you a message privately? And it's interesting that you said earlier that soul ties affect men and women. And I was reading in Romans chapter 1, and I would advise you all to read that for yourself, but when you have a soul tie, your spouse makes you upset, man or woman. You open the door, if you don't put it in check, for your friends to talk to you in your ear gate about, I told you he wasn't any good. You don't need her, man. You don't need her. And so what you're doing is you're opening up the channels for a spirit, not the Holy Spirit, to come in and set seed into your life. And you can actually step over into getting involved with the same sex. Romans chapter 1 clearly talks about that, where you have traded the desires of God for the desires of the world, men exchanging affections for, and women exchanging affections for each other.
That's right.
And what you're doing is you're looking for someone to pacify your hurt feelings, and you're looking to be validated. If you're not being validated in your marriage or in your relationship, so we're looking for people to validate us at any cost, and that should not be. The only person that should validate us is the man upstairs, because he's the one that created us.
Amen.
So when we talk about the five parts of the soul, that's five parts of the soul. But we are a tripartite being. We are a spirit. Mm-hmm. We have a soul, and we live inside of a body. Mm-hmm. When I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I gave Him all of me. Who am I to then say, okay, Lord, I'm taking back my body, I'm taking back my will, I'm taking back my soul right now, and then I'm going to go and join it with this person over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get tired of this person over here or this person hurts me, then I want to come back and join it with the Lord. All that junk that I've experienced over there, I'm going to bring it back now to the Lord? Oh, no. Mm-mm. That should not be. We should come with a clean heart, a clean spirit, and a clean soul. Yeah, we're going to be dirty when we come to the Lord and he cleans us up, but then we want to turn around and go back to the junk that he brought us out of.
That's good.
That's dirt and that's scum. When you're equally yoked with God first, then you are not likely to go and be equally yoked with someone else. A lot of times when we have soul tie issues, it's because there's something in us that we're not happy with, that we're not content with. So what we need to do is be content with who we are. Find out what it is in us. Be content with who we are and join ourselves to the Holy One so that we won't go and join ourselves to unholy things and people.
That's good. That's good. And that's what we do when we're hurt, that we're looking for something to pacify. Why am I hurt? Where is it coming from? So then we go looking. And we ignore God, be like, yeah, God, I'll be back. Let me go and see if I can find see a Jimmy's on Facebook this morning because I need to talk to him. If I don't talk to him, I can't move on with my day, right? So thank you, Denise. So let's go back to soul ties are not mutually shared in a lot of cases. In most cases, it's one-sided. So in other words, your girlfriend that's telling you, let's go sleep with married men, let's go have a sleep with married men party, right? Now, she could, you're at her disposal. She just needs you because you got the car. She ain't even got no car. Okay, everybody got a friend that ain't got no car. And you got to be the one with the car and the gas and the job. So she just kicking in with you because you're the one with the car and the gas. So your friend, I guess that's the thing we don't understand is that what is it about this person? If we really take a moment to unpack it, what is it about this person that I cannot keep myself from talking to them? And in most cases, it's because something or someone hurt us in the past, and Denise alluded to this earlier, that somebody hurt us, and so we're saying this person has found a way to validate my feelings, has found a way to make me feel better about what's happened to me. Many of us have been abused in the past. So that's why a lot of people stay in abusive relationships because some of them feel safe in abusive relationships because of a soul tie with this person, because either they provide them with financial stability, but they beat their head in every day. The thing they provide them with financial stability. Maybe growing up, they lived in poverty. And they say, you know what? I will never be broke at all costs. So that means I have to stay in an abusive relationship so that I'm never hungry or my children always have what they need because I didn't have what I need. If you're in an unhealthy, abusive relationship because of what a person can provide for you, you don't love them. That's an unhealthy tie. Instead of, maybe we need to change the word from tie to connection, to engagement, to interaction. So that we can understand, because I think sometimes the word tie can be, but tie just means I'm wrapped up, I'm tangled up, I don't know how to get out of it. I'm in this web of drama with this person and I can't figure it out. Okay? Now, let's do a compare and contrast. There's three biblical examples of a healthy soul tie, because you can't have a healthy connection with people. That's the whole point. So, number one, David and Jonathan, they were two men. But, you know, some people try to say that they were gay. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They were not gay. They were brothers. They were covenant. They were in covenant. Jonathan looked out for David. When Jonathan's daddy, Saul, was trying to kill David, he was like, look, my daddy crazy. You need to run. Okay? That's a good friend. Okay? Because he could have betrayed him. So you read that in 1 Samuel chapter 18. That's a healthy connection of a relationship. Number two, Ruth and Naomi. When my mother-in-law was on the call with me and we talked about that healthy soul tie, Ruth was like, I'm not going nowhere without my mother-in-law. I'm not going nowhere without Naomi. That's a healthy connection, a healthy soul tie. Number three, then of course you have like the married couples, Abraham and Sarah, Adam and Eve. They had a healthy connection. Now, Sarah, I'm going to have to put a pause on her because she did make Abraham sleep with one of her maid so she could get a baby because she couldn't have no kids. So that was some unhealthy mess going on. But in the end, they did get it together, okay? But now, an unhealthy soul tie is Samson and Delilah. That's in Judges chapter 6, so read that. Number two, Ahab and Jezebel. Now, usually when people talk about seduction and soul ties and things of that nature, that the people that really get deep into it, because it's a really deep subject. So we're kind of just kind of scratching the surface because I don't want to take anybody too fast and they get lost. But I want you to understand that it's serious business. So read about Ahab and Jezebel in 1 Kings and understand how that spirit of seduction can ruin your life. That spirit, that flirting, when you're flirting, that's actually a spirit of seduction. It's a spirit that, because once I pulled you into my web, then you're going to do what I need you to do. Whether that means provide me with emotional stimulation, provide me with sexual stimulation, whatever the case may be. So we got to be careful. And then number three, Eve and the serpent. Why was Eve talking to a snake anyway? I mean, why was she talking to him? She had a connection with this animal that was talking to her and telling her, you know, you need to go against God, forget God. He don't know what he's talking about. That was an unhealthy connection. He was telling her what he wanted to hear. So some of us have to ask ourselves, who am I talking to that's telling me stuff that I want to hear? And it's wrong, it's two left shoes, but because it makes me feel good, I embrace it. I talk to them. I engage with them. I interact with them. That's why we have to be careful who we go to dinner with, who we go to lunch with, who we engage with, because whatever type of spirit that person has, that stuff can jump off on you in a conversation. And then you're trying to figure out, why am I thinking about this person? Like, I ain't gay, so, like, why am I, like, thinking about this person? It happens. So when you're dealing with the soul tie, it can happen instantly. It doesn't have to be something where, you know, you've been sleeping with the same person that's not your husband for 20 years, and it's like, girl, I just can't get them out of my system. You can meet somebody one time, and you can't get them out of your system. You can see something on TV, and you're like, I can't go to sleep until I watch this particular show. Again, a soul tie is a distraction. The enemy is trying to keep us from looking at God. So, again, it's more than just sex. It's a distraction from anything that keeps us focused on God. So here's some symptoms of a soul tie, because some people are like, well, they ain't talking about me. So number one, I can't sleep until I talk to him or her. Number two, when I masturbate, I must think of this person. I know some, and I said when, because some of us Christians speaking in tongues, pastors, preachers, evangelists, first ladies, it ain't just people in the world that's masturbating, okay? There's some of us that's laying hands on folks. Don't lay hands on me, sir. I don't know where your hands have been. I'm sorry. Okay? Number three, when I check out other folks, I compare, or when I'm looking to date other people, I compare the new candidate to my old lover. So women say stuff like, well, God, I got to sleep with him because if his thing is too small, I can't, girl, I can't deal with that because he got to have something packing like Tyrone. Wait a minute. Boo. You can't do that. That's a symptom of a soul tie. That means that every person, that's why some of us don't have successful relationships, not even successful friendships, because we compare and contrast the relationship. We don't even give that person a chance to be who they are because we compare, they have a certain walk and a build. Have you ever noticed when a person has multiple sexual partners, most of the times the people all look the same or have like a certain type of build or walk, or they speak a certain way, or they're in a certain profession or whatever the case may be. So we're trying to figure out, why do all the chicks he sleep with look like Holly Berry? Now, he ain't never been with Holly Berry, but he went with a Holly Berry type. Hello. But we're trying to figure out why he's always being with a certain type of female, because he's trying to look for compensation from that person that he lost, or, you know, someone could have died and your spirit is still tied, your soul is still tied to someone who is dead. That's possible. This stuff is real. Number four, I constantly say to my ex, or I constantly say to my new mate or husband or fiance, why can't you be more like so-and-so? That's straight up out of order. If you are married and you're telling your husband about your baby's father and what he used to do, how he used to handle you, how he used to take care of you. Really? That's out of order. Number five, I would kill for you. I would kill for her. Now, we don't understand the weight of what we're saying. So if you feel like I will kill for somebody or I will hurt for somebody or, number six, I will lie or cover up for somebody, that's a soul tie, beloved. And we cannot get caught up in that. Number seven, when I on purpose, when I sleep with other people, I am still thinking of him or her. First of all, beloved, you should not be sleeping with nobody if you're not married. That's number one. And number two, if you're sleeping with somebody and comparing them to somebody that you slept with probably yesterday or the day before, that's out of order. Because you're bringing all their spirits from that person or people into whatever you're doing right now. So we can all preach about fornication, and yes, it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. But some of us going to do what we want to do. But I want you, if you're not going to sit and listen to the spiritual aspect of it, the fact that we're hurting God when we're sleeping with people that we have no business sleeping with, let's put that to the side, because some of us, that's not enough. We're like, God, you just don't know I have needs. Okay, no problem. But then don't go praying to God when you can't. Crazy is happening, and you're like, God is not answering my prayers. So wait a minute, boo, you just slept with so-and-so yesterday. I can't say nobody's name because that might be your man's name, so I got to be careful what names I say. So we got to be careful that when we call ourselves, we're going to make sure that feeling goes away. I just need to, we say, oh, I'm horny or I'm this or I'm that girl. I got to get this taken care of. I got to get this. You don't understand that it's deeper than just getting that 2 seconds. And 2 seconds for some of us is all we're getting is 2 seconds. And we're I'm not going to destroy my soul for a piece of penis. I'm sorry. I can't. Or a vagina. It's not worth it. Number eight, I love the way he or she says my name. Now, your husband calling your name, and you're like, what? But he calls your name. You're like, yes. What? That's out of order. If you're sleeping with your husband and you can only think of this person, your past, your first lady, your boss. Come on, y'all. We out of order. And we're trying to figure out why life is not working or why our careers aren't going where it needs to go. Because we have a network of soul ties that's all over the globe. And we don't even realize it. Now, Denise, I know you have to go onto your next call, your next show, but Denise J, so I want you to make sure, did you have any parting words before we go and we move to the next segment? Okay, I guess she doesn't. So I want everybody to make note of these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Now, usually that's the marriage scripture. That's a scripture that everybody uses at their wedding, and everybody has that they use to talk about the man leaving his wife. But, yeah, you can leave your mother and your father's house and your body still be there. So you're trying to, if soul ties is more than just connected to a person, you can be connected to an institution or to a house. I can't think unless I go here. I can't function unless I go here. I can't be, when you leave your mother and father's house, you got to leave and be gone, right? But what happens is that when we leave, we may be physically gone, but every time there's a problem, we run back to mommy and daddy and say, mommy, daddy, I'm scared, or I don't like what's going on out here. I want to come back home. I want to leave my husband. I want to leave my wife. So you can have an unhealthy soul tie with the house you grew up in, with the church that you've been at all your life. You're trying to figure out, I can't leave. I know it's bad, and I need to go, but I just can't leave. I can't leave. And then when you're gone, that's when you feel free. You're like, oh, my God, this is great. This is wonderful. But then as soon as you go back, you automatically feel that constricting behavior, that like your heart is going to break, you're going to suffocate because you're like, why am I here? And that's what some of us do. We stay there, and we stay in unhealthy situations to try to prove a point or because somebody said, girl, if I were you, I would do this. No, I'm not listening to her. This is good. This person has been good to me. I'm staying with them. Even though you know deep down inside, I should leave. I should be gone. But we stay anyway. I want you to also make note of, you know that the person who unites himself with the prostitute becomes one body with her, don't you? For it is said the two will become one flesh. So when the Bible talks about one flesh, it's talking about people being joined, sexually joined together. So when people engage, not we, because I can't do the prostitute thing, no shade on nobody if that's your thing, but I mean, I need my money for something else, so I'm sorry. But I think sometimes we don't realize some of us are prostituting ourselves out for free. We ain't even getting paid. We're trying to figure out why, you know, we have them in our phone. Some of us have so many options. That's what we call them. Some of my single friends, they call them options. You know, I got to stay on the team. You know, this is my team. I got Billy for this. I got this for Peter for this. I got John for this. I'm going to use the disciples because people don't really name the kid after disciples anymore. So I'm going to use Peter, John, Matthew, Luke. Okay, that's on my team. That's my team. Okay, and so what we do is we get to a point where we want God to bless us, and then we're trying to figure out, you got too many people on the team. God can't even send nobody because you got a team already. So let me give Denise J. Like I said, I know you got to go. Are you there, dear?
I'm on a call.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. So before I let you go, I know you have another show to do. Did you have any parting points before we get to the next segment?
I think we should do a part two.
I think so, too. I think there's a part two in the making.
Say that again.
Because it's such a topic that's a bondage topic. Do you know what I mean? As
mm-hmm.
far as spirit,
yeah.
It's going to take more than one session for people to really understand how deep this is, and
mm-hmm.
if it's not dealt with, I mean, it could have some detrimental effects on people's lives. I mean, the stalkers that are out there, you know, stalking the celebrities, that's a soul tie. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, we have people in our family that stalk people, you know, and are so connected or want to be connected to people. And it's interesting that you said something about the celebrities who's posted on your wall. I remember as a little kid, yeah, I had posters of Michael Jackson posted on my wall. But that says a little child. I mean, as an adult, you have posters on your wall of celebrities, or you're thinking about these celebrities, and you're following them on Twitter, and you're following them on Facebook. That's a soul tie. And I think if we take the time and evaluate what we do in a day, then we would come to the conclusion that there are some things in our lives that we need to break, like Tasha Combs said, break every chain. Everything
right.
that exalts itself, a God and his destiny for your life, you need to break it. And that may include staying away from some family members.
Oh, I know that's right.
We all have them.
Yes,
but
it
there
is.
Are some family members where we need to say, hey, hold up, wait a moment. Not in this house, not in this place, not around this temple. No more.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we should have a part
thank
two.
You. I agree. And you know what, guys? I know that my mother is on the call, and I actually extended the call today 30 minutes because I knew that we would have some questions. So you can post your questions on Facebook or inbox me or inbox one of the hosts. Like I said, I know Denise J has another show to do. So, Denise, thank you so much. I want you to go ahead and prepare for your other call. I love you, and we will talk next week, okay?
Love you guys, too.
And my mother is on the call, and I want to bring her in because I know my mother is an excellent teacher about this, and I wanted to bring her in. Mother, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Good morning, Mom.
Good morning. How are you, ladies?
This is the morning show. This is everybody across America, the world, that's listening to our show today. And
okay.
So everybody, I want to introduce you to my mother, the prophetess, the evangelist. But my mom, Cora Pugh. And the reason why I brought her in is because Holy Spirit prompted me to bring her in. I didn't really even know she was on until I looked. But, Mom, I know I feel like you do have something to share regarding this. Could you go ahead and do that?
Well, it really is amazing that how our mind operates. That's why, you know, it takes a mind to live for the Lord. It takes a mind to do whatever it is that you need to do in life itself, because, you know, if you think on anything long enough, and if the situation is right, you will do a lot of things that you would say normally you would not do. And see, one of the things is that's why the scripture says you have to cast down imagination. In other words, it's not going to just go away on its own, because your imagination is with you all the time. And you would be, you would really be surprised how people are satisfied by the things they think about in their imagination. They get satisfied with just thinking on, allowing their mind to run up and down and to go in and out of the things that are not of God. And then you wonder why, you know, you have those that are in leadership, be them women or men, that have become non-effective is because of the mind. They didn't continue to feed their mind with positive things. And being around positive people. Some people want to be the smartest person in the room. Well, if you want to go places all the time and you only want to be, you want to be the smartest person in the room, you know, you already want people to have a soul tied to you that keeps you who you are. That's why the Bible tells us to think on the good things of life. You know, it says, you know, if there be, you know, any virtue, think on these things. And so you have to make sure that your mind is being fed with the right things, because that's why we fast. We fast in order to keep the flesh under subjection, but we have the written word to fight off the enemy. See, sometimes we think, well, I'm fasting so the devil won't tempt me. No, you fasting so that you can keep your flesh under subjection, and then you use the written word of God on the enemy every time a thought comes, because we can't keep ourselves from thinking about things, but we can keep ourselves from entertaining it for very long. You have to immediately deal with that thought. And one of the things that I wanted to say when I think it was you that was talking, since your father went to be with the Lord, I have to be careful of how I sit in the house here and just think on him all day. Now, that might not sound right to other people, but you have to make sure, you have to understand, I have to put my grieving and I have to put my missing him in the right perspective, because, see, that's where depression comes. All of those things and all of those thoughts, all of those things that bind us in our mind, you know. See, we were talking about a few weeks ago, we were talking about the mental part, the mental health part. And, see, you know, sometimes people don't understand the physical. You know, your physical is really driven by what you think in your mind. If you say, I can't, then you cannot. You know, if you say you will be surprised at the things you can do, because why, you set your mind to it. Because your body can line up with what you say, you know.
Right.
And your mind is, you know, your mind is not, you're supposed to have control over your mind. Your mind is not supposed to have control over you.
Good. That's good. That's good. And it's true, because that's going back to, and you got to the one of the points. So some of us are like, okay, you know what? I get it. I have a soul tie. Now what do I do? How do I get rid of it? Because I think we've kind of exposed just, well, I won't say exposed, I won't say exploited, but we've exposed some of those areas where we're having little things, because we think it's just, you know, that I can't stop sleeping with him. It's bigger than that. And so, Mom, thank you for talking about how being even people that are deceased, and not just the just with dad, but also those of us who maybe have lost a child or lost a mom or lost, you know, another loved one or a best friend, you know, our minds can get out of control, and then the enemy will say, okay, now let's find another way to distract her. So a lot of mental health issues are wrapped up in soul ties.
Exactly.
If you ever sit down and have a conversation with some people, you'll say to them, what happened? And they'll say, my so-and-so did this, or when my so-and-so died, or when this happened to me. It's always related to something that happened in the past, usually, when people are having mental health challenges. And so going back to the soul ties, that's just a manifestation of what was already going on in your mind. So you're feeling like, I got to sleep with this person in order to feel better. I got to masturbate because I got to feel better. It's like, oh, my God, it's so much deeper than just the sexual part is the acting out of what's already been going on in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So some of us have had orgies, all kinds of stuff going on in the mind. We haven't actually done it.
Yes,
but that's
right.
Why even the Bible talks about how we got to be careful what Mom just said. We got to be careful of what we allow to go on in the mind. Now, a lot of us, we torture ourselves, and we're like, but, you know, I can't stop the thoughts from coming. That's what the Bible talks about, the fiery darts of the enemy. The fiery darts are those thoughts. He just keeps, just imagine the enemy with a bow and arrow, and he has, and the arrow has, you know, what, your past, your boyfriend, the old boyfriend's name on the dart. And he hits your mind with the thought of an old boyfriend. Now, you're sleeping with your husband now. But an old boyfriend will come up in your mind. You're like, oh, Jesus, what's wrong? What happened? What did I do? You can't stop the thoughts from coming, but
right.
You can stop what you do with those thoughts.
Amen.
Because you can, like Mom said, entertain it so long, and then you find yourself wrapped up with somebody you can't even have. So, let's talk about the seven ways that I've researched about how to break the soul tie and keep it simple, because I think sometimes we over-spiritualize the soul tie. We make it really spooky, so that's why a lot of people don't like talking about it. So we've over-spiritualized it, and while it is a spiritual matter, it should not be a spooky matter. But it can be spooky if you don't deal with it spiritually and in the natural and in your mind. You have to actually deal with it. You can't keep quiet about it. You can't, when you say mom or your friend, you say, hey, I'm having a challenge. I keep having these thoughts. Can you pray with me? I don't know what's going on. And a lot of the time, we have to close that door. We're watching movies that we have no business watching. We're listening to music we have no business listening to. We're going to places that we have no business going to. And then we can't keep our minds engaged if we're in places that we have no business being. So seven simple ways to break soul ties. Number one, you must repent and renounce the spirit of seduction, because that's what it is. It's seducing you so that you can go in and find a way to feel better. So that spirit seduces you, and then you get connected with it, and then you're tied up in it. So you have to repent and renounce it. So when I say renounce, that means, so for example, I no longer allow my soul, so whoever that person is or that dildo that you're using, amen, whatever it is that you're attaching yourself to, you have to renounce that thing. You have to break that off of you. You can have the quote-unquote prayer warriors pray for you, bathe you in oil for the next, soak you in oil for the next 3 weeks. You get baptized every day for the next 90 days. If you don't open your mouth and renounce that spirit, it will not go away. It will not, because you have not given the enemy or God permission to allow that spirit to be broken off your life. You have to open your mouth and renounce it and repent. And you have to replace those thoughts and actions with the word of God.
Exactly.
And now some of us, and Mom said it so eloquently, some of us don't even read our Bibles. We're preaching and we don't read the Bible. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you not How do you read the Bible? How do you teach the word but don't read it? Okay, so we have to replace. We've got to put some scriptures in our arsenal. And I did post some of those scriptures on Facebook so that you can have, so that you'll have some scriptures that you can focus on. 2 Corinthians 10:5 that talks about casting down imaginations. Your imagination can get you straight up in hell, okay? And not just hell physically, but I'm talking about a mental state of agony. Okay, so you got to cast down imaginations and everything that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, you think you know better than God. God can't make you feel any better, so it's like, let me do me. That doing me spirit to get you in a situation that you can't get out of. Number two, you cannot entertain the individual on any level at any time. If they are an ex, that you have to interact with, like maybe your baby's mom or whatever, or baby father or whatever the case may be. Number one, you have to repeat step one and continue to renounce that, because sometimes you'll come into, it's the day where y'all got to exchange the kids, and you just see him and you're like, oh God, I still want to be with him. Lord, help me, Jesus. You're trying to figure out, he's no good for me, but I still want him. Or we'll do little sneaky things to try to get back with him, or try to mess up their lives with their new wife, hello, because we got a husband now, but we want to find a way to break up that situation, because if I can't have him, you can't have him either, right? That's the spirit.
See, Adrian,
Yes.
Let me just interject right there. And sometimes all we want to do, I mean, that person can be such a soul tie to us. All we want to be is in their presence. You know, sometimes we just want to either hear their voice, we just want to be in their presence. It really don't have to be off to the side, just me and them. It's just the fact that you see them, hear them, and for some, that's enough. And that's the work of the enemy, because he's led, you know, and the person themselves may not even know that they even have that kind of that kind of control over you, and before you know it, they are just doing what they do. You know, they may come and just hug you, be like, "Oh, girl, oh my, he left his pen on me. Oh Lord, you don't wash the blouse." You know, then God forbid. You know what I'm saying? So maybe he'll just come and say, "God bless you, my sister," and you be trying to hold on to his hand. All he doing is just doing what he do. You know. And see, and so sometimes it's not so much you say you're with your husband, but sometimes you can even be with, you just want to be in that person's presence, you know.
That's
and
right.
See, and that, no one should have that kind of control over anyone, because when they can exercise that kind of control over you, that's a form of witchcraft. And we would be surprised that people that are being, you know, that are being manipulated by the spirit of witchcraft, because they're allowing, you know, you can only be tempted by what you like. You know, they can only tempt you with what you like. If you never drank, he ain't going to bring alcohol to you. But if you love sex, that's what he going to bring. You know, everything is going to be in the sexual nature. You know, you're going to dress provocatively. You're going to do those things that's surrounded by sex. If you love music, see, me as a person, I have to be careful about music, because that's what I used to, that's what I love. I love music, so I have to be careful with the kind of music I listen to, even gospel. I have to be careful with what I feed my spirit with. And I just wanted to interject that while you were talking. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. No, that's good. That's good. And number three, you must fast and pray regularly in order to aid in your freedom from the soul tie. So you don't just fast from food, but fast from the, people say, I'm going on a fast. Okay, so I can, you know, get the spirit, this person off of me, the spirit that I have that's connected to this person. But you're still texting the person. You still go on Facebook to see what he doing and what he done checked in at. Ma'am, you're not fasting. You're just not eating. You're on a diet. You're not fasting. If you still have to find ways to still interact with that person, you have to get that person completely out of your system. When I say out of your system, meaning you can't be available when he texts you in the middle of the night, you know, asking or sending random text messages just to see what he's doing. What are you doing? And not just women, but men too. we'll send messages just to see what she's doing or if she's with another guy, okay? Or watching, like we said, watching movies, listening to music that we have no business listening to, going to places that remind you of that person. I don't understand how people on the Daniel fast, but they still go to the club. Like, I don't understand. How do you do that? Like, do you just only have, like, vegetable drinks when you go to the club? Like, how do you do that? And so we're trying to figure out why we're not free, but we got this thing twisted. Here's a big one that people don't like to talk about. If the person has given you a gift, don't give the gift to somebody else. Throw it away. If you have a soul tie with a person, you can, because what you can do is go get his T-shirt or go get her blanket or go and, you know, find something that she gave you. And like Mama said, that could just be just enough. You got to talk to him. You got to see him. Right? So if that person has given you a gift, don't give it to somebody else. Throw it away. Because what you're doing is you're keeping your spirit constantly engaged with this person that you're trying to figure out, why can't I get them out of my system? Because you still have something that they own that's in your spirit, that's in your house. I don't care if it's a little a toothbrush. Throw it away. Because the enemy, he's so crafty, he uses those little things to keep us in bondage. So every time you look at a picture or a gift or a vase or a lamp that person bought you, furniture, the bed. If your husband cheated on you in the bed that you're sleeping in, you probably want to say, babe, and you decide to keep him, okay, you probably want to switch out beds. Just so, you know, because that's the thing. We got to clean up our lives in every area because we don't know where we're holding on to things. And ladies, feel free to interject at any time. Also, so if you get a gift, don't give it away. Throw it away, but you have to get it out of your house or out of your car. What if you're driving the car that they bought you? Sweetie, go to the car dealership and say, hey, what can you give me on this? What can you give me? Because that person still has, and like Mom said, that witchcraft, that's a whole nother call, a whole nother subject about witchcraft. But that's really what it really is when you get down to it, when you can't break that quote-unquote spell or that spirit that person has on you. Now, so we'll get into that on another day. Now, number four, you must be accountable to a trusted spiritual friend that is free from soul ties. Now, your prayer partner can't be sleeping with somebody that ain't husband either. I mean, you can't do that. You can't have somebody that's struggling with the same thing that you're struggling with. And they say, well, girl, she knows what I'm going through. Yes, she knows what you're going through, and she's delivered now. But if she's doing the same thing that you're doing, neither one of you are strong enough to pray each other through. So you got to find somebody that has the spiritual arsenal that you need to help you get to the next level spiritually. Number five, you must forgive yourself and the person you allow to seduce and choke your soul. That's number five. Sometimes we try to figure out why I can't get over this. But some of us simply have not. We just haven't forgiven ourselves for some stuff that's happened in the past. I haven't forgiven myself. You know, I allowed myself to be in a situation. I allowed myself to sleep with this man for so long. I allowed myself to, you know, to sleep with this woman for so long. I allowed myself. And so we become almost a glutton for punishment. We look for dysfunctional relationships when we don't even realize we're looking for them. Or we have a good relationship, whether platonic or sexual, and then, meaning, I should say, married relationship, we have a good relationship, and we still find a way to sabotage it because of something old that has happened. But we have to forgive ourselves and forgive the person that seduced us. Forgive the person, I should say, that we allowed to seduce us, because nobody makes you do anything. It's an act of your will, and that's what we talked about earlier. It's an act of your will.
And Adrian?
You cannot over... Yes.
And one thing that we have to stop doing, we have to stop giving life to things. Because sometimes God, you know, you've asked God, you know, to help you with it, and he is help you, or he has helped you, but we have a tendency to go back and get things at a certain time. So we have to stop giving life to it. And we're really good, especially women, we're good at giving life to things. And what we have to do is we have to remember, okay, God, I asked you to do that and you did it. But when we are, when we are sharing things, we have to remember the motive why we're sharing certain things when we're telling people about. If you're sharing with another young lady, as an example, about soul ties, now, are you sharing with her that you used to have a soul tie and you're over that soul tie and this is how you did it? Or are you giving life to you thinking about that soul tie by sharing it, and you like to share it? Why? Because you continue to give life to it. So we have to understand that also the enemy is very, very crafty in how we, you know, that's just like, you know, false pride. You're like, oh, girl, don't say that. Don't say that. Oh, well, you pray for me. No. Mm-mm. You know, so we have to be careful about how we even share things. Because are we sharing it with the right motive? Are we really over it? Or do every time I get up or I bring a message or I do whatever, that's why I go? That means that it's still there. We're not sharing it with the right motive.
That's good. That's really good. And we do. We do. Absolutely. That false humility, that false, sense of, girl, you know, I'm just, you know, God is just good, girl. You know, if he did it for me, he'll did it for you. He'll do it for you. Yeah, but you still got a team in your phone, evangelist, that you need to delete out of your phone, because when you get through preaching, you still doing the things that you have no business doing. So, Mom, thank you for bringing that up. And so I actually added that to the list. Stop giving life to dead things. Stop talking about it. Stop rehearsing it. Because, like Mom said, some of us take pleasure in talking about our past. Girl, let me tell you about so-and-so. Girl, I just have to tell you about him. No. Stop talking about it, because if you did, thank God, get free, you can get tangled up again. It's something that you have to constantly work on. The last thing I want to bring up is you must be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and running around the church and falling out and foaming at the mouth, and all that's great too. But some of us, we have to understand, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, walking in the Spirit and not engaging your flesh. Some of us, we keep our flesh so engaged with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of these other social networks and, you know, all of the reality shows and all of this junk that we allow to attach to our spirits. And we're trying to figure out why we can't break stuff off from so-and-so, because we keep looking at a relationship. Some of y'all that watch Love and Hip Hop with Tahiri and whatever the crazy man's name is, the drug addict, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all that follow the show, amen, I follow it so I can know what I'm talking about, because I'll be like, what? Who? So I have to learn, because I don't know all the time. But when people are talking, I want to be intelligent about what they're talking about and understanding what people are dealing with. But when we constantly keep our flesh engaged with the same thing over and over again, we will never be free. But we have to be filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the evidence of his Spirit, his love, joy, kindness, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. And the number one for me, right behind love, is self-control. Because we can pray all day. We can bathe in oil, but when it's all said and done, the enemy brings that temptation after you've repented, after you've renounced the sin or whatever, after you've done all the steps, the enemy will say, okay, let's see how delivered she is, and that he will bring that thing right back to your mind and say, hey, why don't you call Tyrone? Why don't you call so-and-so, see what's up with her, see if she want to go to the club tonight? Because what will happen is he'll cause some rejection or something to happen, or something that will trigger our old thought or our old feeling of loss, and then we'll go back to that same person or that same pattern of failure. So as we wrap up, we did go over a little bit today because I wanted to make sure that we did our best to expose the basics of soul ties. And we can listen to Tasha Cobb, Break Every Chain, all day. But if you keep going and buying new chains and chaining yourself to new people, just because you're not tied up to so-and-so anymore, you can create a brand new chain to somebody else. So when we break the chain, when the chains are broken, we have to do our part to make sure they remain broken. Now, Mom, before we go, Denise, are you still with us?
I am. I'm still here.
Okay, good. Before we wrap up, did you have any final remarks?
Adrian, just let me say this before Denise prays. You know, the other thing is,
I was going to have you pray. I was going to have you wrap up and you pray, and I was going to let Denise finish if she had any last remarks.
Well, I just want to say, you know, you were saying about the chain, but also, you know, the scripture tells us about, you know, he gives us beauty for ashes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to sometimes, he does that, but we have a tendency to get us a cup and keep the ashes. So we have to remember, you know, whenever, you know, when, yeah, he gives us beauty for ashes. Okay, you got the ashes, but get rid of the ashes. You know, get rid of all of those things that, you know, that the enemy, you don't have to, because he only have the, you know, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all those things. He just uses those three things, and he used it on Eve, then he used it on Jesus, and that's what he's using on us. And we would be surprised where, you know, it's the little things, it's the subtle things, because the big things we usually know how to, you know, deal with those, but it's the subtle things that we think that the no harm things. The Bible tells us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. In other words, it's the little things, and after the little things become big things, if you allow them to continue to attach themselves to you, and before you know it, you're weighted down with what we call, or what the world called, no harm things.
That's good. And that goes back to, you know, deleting people from your Facebook page that you know that they mean you no good and you don't mean them any good. Because some of us aren't the victims. We are preying on some people, P-R-E-Y. Some of
right.
us are preying on other people. So let's not just take the seat like we're the victim, we're the ones that's always being abused. Some of us abuse other people. Some of us prey on other people, try to find ways where we can manipulate other people. So it's more so soul ties goes both ways. Who are you trying to reel in? Who are you trying to bait into your life? Who do you see that can add value to your life? And you're trying to figure out, yeah, I'm gonna get her. Denise, did you have any closing remarks before Mom prayed?
I don't. I think you did a fabulous job with exposing the soul ties, and I like that in the beginning you were saying maybe we should, I don't know if it was Denise J or yourself saying soul connections, but this was a very hefty topic which exposed all areas of soul ties, and you hit on so many avenues of where you can get connected, where your imagination and your intellect can get drowned it out with different things, social media, Facebook, Twitter, TV. So as you were talking, some TV shows was coming up for me where they're on Thursday night. At 9 o'clock, I shut it down for my show Scandal. And so when you said it, I was like, wait a minute, hold on, Denise, what's going on? So, but I think you did a fabulous job, and I do feel there's a part two. But it was needed, and I'm glad that you touched on that soul ties is not always sexual, because at first, before this show, I thought soul ties were mostly connected with sex, but it's connected in all areas, and you listed each of those, the soul, the mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions, and imagination. So awesome job, and thank you for educating me, and Mama Pew, thank you for educating me also on the soul ties. Great, 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 great topic.
Awesome, awesome. So as we wrap up, first of all, I want to thank everybody. I want my mom, the for her to be the last voice that you hear. But I just want to thank you all for joining the show today. Yes, there will be a part two, and it will be a man that will be joining us this time, on the next call. So once he has his schedule allows, he will be on to talk about the man, how men process sex, soul ties, and not just the sexual aspect, but in every aspect. So I'm really excited about how God is expanding wifeability.com and using it more than just talking about being a good wife, and that's all important. But a lot of us don't even have the basics down. And so we need to get back to basics when it comes to our walk with God and being the wife, the mom, the husband, the father, the sibling, the mother that we need to be. That's what we have to focus on. So, Mom, as we close out, thank you so much. And, Mom, go ahead and pray, and you will be the last voice that we hear. Thank you, Mom, for being my impromptu guest today. I know that it was the Holy Spirit because I didn't even know you were on this morning. So thank you for being open to share with me.
Father God, we thank you for this program. And most of all, we thank you for Adrienne Bell. We thank you for using the vessel in the way that you are using her to bring things to our remembrance and also help us to have consciousness of the things that you are not pleased with, the things that we're doing, that we realize that you are God and you want us to be whole in you. God, we thank you for helping us to honestly choose to want to change, to choose to want to do the right thing consciously in our minds, in our dreams, that we would have the dreams that you would desire us to have, whether we're asleep or whether we are just having vision. God, we thank you for helping us to openly examine what we have done or how we are allowing ourselves not to be used of you effectively because we are allowing those things to creep into our lives. But God, we thank you. We know that there was a need for this. If not, you would not have said so. God, we understand that there are people out there that are committing suicide over things that are just things that are in their imagination. But on today, we decree and we declare that whatever it is that you would have us to do, that we're going to be about your business of doing it. We are evaluating our relationships that we have with other people. One by one, we're evaluating them in our lives to say if this person needs to stay at the level that they are in our lives. And God, we know that you're going to do it for us. We reserve a particular spot in our lives every day to spend just with you in your word and also in prayer. God, help us to submit our flesh under. It said that we want to come under the word of God. We want to come under the things that you desire us to do. Help us to submit to your word in every area of our lives. And God, we yield ourselves to you as vessels to do the right thing in our minds and in our bodies, because we know that you desire that the kingdom of God be more effective than we are. And we are asking you to use us the more, God, because you are a great God, and we worship you. We magnify your name because you are a great God. And you will not desire us to do anything that will help people to not see you in our lives. You said that for us, that if whatever we are light that's shining in this dark world and in areas that the church refuses or people refuse to discuss them. But God, we thank you for the openness that we have and this avenue that you've opened on the radio and on the phone and also on the internet, because there are positive things that's going on the things that you're allowing us to be. And as we go through our daily walk on today, help us to keep this program in our mind and help us to be able to share. And all of these blessings, oh God, we ask in your darling son Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ladies, be blessed of the Lord. God bless.
Amen, amen. God bless you all and have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week.